Our gospel for this first Sunday in the Christmas season comes from the second chapter of Luke. Luke's narrative continues with stories that emphasize Jesus' connection to Judaism. His family is devout in its observance of the law, and Jesus himself is recognized as one who will bring glory to Israel. Our reading, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time had come for Joseph and Mary's purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to present Jesus to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. So let me tell you a story about once upon a time, many, many years ago, when my very young wife and I got married. Very young, not a lot of money, and we ended up heading off on a honeymoon camping at Lake Sakakawea. Not far from where Jan's folks lived, great place to go camp. And it was back in the day where you could go off on the prairie trails along Sakakawea and pretty much camp anywhere. There weren't a lot of restrictions. We chose to go, if you know, west of Garrison. There's a place that you catch some prairie trails and you can get out to the National Guard training camp. We headed out that way and then off across the prairie in my Ford Pinto hatchback, white. Orange interior, looked like a little pumpkin on wheels. And to get out there, I mean, we're climbing with this little Pinto up prairie hills and down the prairie trails into deep ravines, and then finally we get to the spot, and it was lovely. It's a beautiful afternoon, beautiful evening, and in the middle of the night, everything changed. A thunderstorm rolled in, and the tent turned into like this billowing balloon. And then the rain came, and I'm not talking about a little bit of mist, I'm talking about buckets of water being dropped upon us. And so we grab everything we can, and we stuff it into the pumpkin, and we slam the hatchback, and we start trying to make our way back out to the highway. Those peaceful little prairie trails that we had crawled over earlier are now gushing rivers, with water by the torrent just coming down them. It was greasy and clay, and we were not sure that the sure-footed Pinto was going to make it to the top of some of those hills. But we finally got out and got on the highway, and on the highway it's only a few miles to get to Jan's folks' place, and we pull into the farmyard, and as soon as we park in front of the garage, the lights come on, we walk into the house, and Jan's mom says, "We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you." Those are the words, not written in the Gospel of Luke, but they're really the words that are behind Anna and Simeon in today's text. They are saying with great joy in their voice, "We've been waiting for you." As they see this baby brought to the temple. I mean, think about the incredible joy that must have been in the hearts of these two people. Especially Anna, who the text tells us has basically been living in the temple for much of her adult life. 7 years that she was married, the text tells us. The rest of the time she spent in the temple praising God. And she's been watching. And she's been waiting. And she's been looking, and all of the sudden, she sees this one, and she praises God, because the promise to the prophets have been fulfilled. The promise has been echoing across the ages for at least 1,000 years, that one would come, that God would send another that would be much like King David, who would bring the people back together, who would be a gift to all of humanity, mighty counselor, right? And finally, this one has come. And I can just imagine Anna's smile. And can you imagine Simeon? So in my mind, I see the picture from the first Lion King, where Simba holds up the baby, right? Here is this baby grabbed by Simeon, held in his hands with great joy because he sees that what he's been looking for his entire life has been provided by God, this child, this blessed one. So where do you turn in the midst of that? We gather on this, the first Sunday in the Christmas season. What a strange liturgical year this is. I mean, when you consider that last Sunday in the morning we celebrated the fourth week of Advent, and then in the afternoon we moved into Christmas Eve, and then this year, on the very last day of the year, we are doing Christmas 1. I don't know, all of this doesn't happen very often. But on the very last day of the year, in this Christmas season, which hasn't come to an end, we get 12 days of it. Christmas marches on all the way through Friday. We have an opportunity to sit back and think about what God has really done. Not having to worry about kids running around the house screaming because they're so hyped up on sugar waiting for presents to be opened. Not having to worry about meals to be cooked and all of those sorts of things. Not needing to worry about travel or anything else. This is a day to just sit and think about what God has been up to. You might have heard it in the midst of this service, in the midst of the singing, in the midst of the texts. They're focused on praising God for the gift of this child. I mean, we begin with Isaiah, words of incredible praise, thanking God for bringing the chosen people back into the promised land, carrying with them a promise that will bless all nations. There is praise in the words from Galatians as well. Praise for the gift that God has given us, adopting us into God's family. We're not alone. We're not left out. By Jesus' death and resurrection, Paul in Galatians is telling us we are wrapped into this family Thanks be to God. And you can't get much more of a psalm of praise and thanksgiving than Psalm 148. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Those words reverberate again and again and again in this text. Thanking God for all of the gifts given. So it seems to me on this last day of 2023, it's a perfect day to sit back and just ponder what God has been up to in our midst and the ability to thank God for it. Sometimes we are running on such a treadmill of life that stopping to say thanks to God, well, it's hard to do. And the truth is, maybe you've been through some tough times this year, and you're trying to figure out, so where does praise and thanksgiving fit into that? So maybe the praise and thanksgiving comes into thinking about the people who helped carry you through those hard times. Who are the ones that gave you the listening ear or the shoulder to lean on? Who are the ones who have been the ones who have cheered you on and said, you will get through this. Let me walk with you. This week, we got to experience the gift of a half inch of ice. And maybe the blessing of that was that it forced us to just sit, to cancel lots of plans, to stay inside because we didn't want to fall on our tuchuses. Right? And that ability to just be in the grip of God's love and grace. Maybe the joy and thanksgiving in the midst of that was being able to pull some people together to do a little bit of work. Here, we are very thankful for John, our facility manager, and Ray Munson, and Pastor Lee Herberg, and who came over and spent lots of hours chipping and scraping and moving ice. And that ability to be together and laugh and thank God for being able to do this kind of work. Praise comes as we sit back and think about all of the ways that God blesses us, both large and small. So I wonder if in this day and in the coming days, you might try to find a few minutes, if you're a real fidgety soul, or maybe longer than that, if you have the gift of patience, to just sit back in a chair and thank God for all that God has been up to in your life. Thanking God for the people and the opportunities and the places that you've been and the way that people have connected with you. We've been waiting for you. The message that was on my mother-in-law's lips, the message which echoes in the gospel, the message that is in our lives, we've been waiting for you, for the Savior, who by the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives even now. And we thank God for that presence. Thanks be to God. Amen.